Who in the room has ever made a promise? Just a promise, your word. Oh, come on, you guys are lying. Yes, everybody has made a promise. I mean, that's this, if you think way back when your kids, if you have kids, think way back with your kids, you promise your kids something. How many of you have also had promises spoken to you by another person? Yeah, most everyone as well. When I say promises, I also mean when people speak words over to you. Words mean things to me. When somebody gives their word, I take that as a promise as well. I spoke to my sister's boyfriend who lives up in Alaska, and I was kind of talking to him, and I don't know how it came about, but he was talking about where he lives in Alaska. It's a small town, a couple hours outside of Anchorage. And he said, you know, he said, people up there in that small town, they don't like contracts. They don't like writing and signing their names on stuff. A handshake and their word means stuff. Years and years and years and years ago, still down here, words mean things. And they mean basically a contract. How many of you have had a promise spoken to that has not been fulfilled or broken? Yeah. Most all of us, if not all of us. Those promises and those words that are broken really hurt. I don't like them. I've been on both sides. And there's always something that comes out of a broken promise or broken word. One of the things that, as I was going through this, the Lord didn't, because every so often it just kind of pops up. Thinking of CJ when he was just a little guy, 5, 6 years old. And we asked my dad and mom to watch him. Say, hey, will you watch him? Dad's like, yep, we'll watch him. I'll take him fishing. CJ loved it. Loved it. So we thought it was great. So we hyped CJ up because sometimes he didn't like going to grandma and grandpa's. We had to work or we had to do something. And so dropped him off, came back to the afternoon to pick him up. I could tell something was wrong. So my dad came and said, hey, we didn't go fishing. That's what I knew was wrong. It was a broken promise. My father broke his word to CJ to do yard work. He said, oh yeah, we just stayed around the house and did yard work. I was sad for CJ. See, and I knew that he was hurt. Even, and that was 23 years ago. And just within those 23 years, probably within the last couple, 2 or 3 years, that conversation has come up in mine and CJ's conversation. So I remember it hurts him. It has stayed with him a long time. Words mean something. And they can be really, really devastating. So as I'm speaking about the promises and words, I'm sure some of you are thinking on some of those that have not been fulfilled. Because they do hurt. Whether it's in your job, your boss, your mom, dad, whatever, they hurt. And I know I've hurt people with my words. Even my kids. Tammy is really good at when she says she's going to do something, she does it. She sticks to her word. She'll go to the ends of the earth, especially for our kids. But I failed on that many times. But it's good to go back to that. So, why did we break our promises? Anyone have any ideas? Cool. No one's saying anything. Because we're human. And we are bad. No, we're not bad. But we're human. I mean, that's just our quote-unquote sinful nature. It's just something that we're human. We are men and ladies. We're sinful by nature. That's just the way we are. Even though we are saved, but we are sinful. But there are some legitimate reasons why promises get broken. Those have to be explained out. Especially, I've had to do that with my kids, CJ specifically. Why it's all him, but he's my son. So, sometimes promises are so big. We make a word, we say we're going to do something, they're so big that it is impossible for us as man to accomplish those things. If I were to say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to go climb Mount St. Helens, that's my word, I promise you, I'm going to take you, there's no way I'd be able to climb Mount St. Helens. I'm not prepared, I'm not in shape, it's cold, there's snow. So why would I make that promise? Just because we want to please, just because I want to please. But that's a promise that would be broken. It's just plain and simple. It's just too big. Sometimes we aren't even smart enough. We make a promise that we're going to do something. I've seen it a lot of times in business, especially in family business. I deal with small businesses as well. And the fathers and the matriarchs and patriarchs of that business keep passing it down from kid to kid to kid. And they also say, we're going to give you the business. We promise you're going to have the business. Sometimes those kids aren't smart enough to even handle a business. And they just, it fails. They don't get the help. The father might sit back and say, you can't handle this business. You can't. And then breaks a promise. I've seen it time and time again. It hurts. But there's sometimes good reasons for that. So, as you can see, we're going to be talking about some promises today. But I do want to pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you for, we thank you for this day and being here in a house that you have provided. Lord, we just thank you for being our Father, being the ultimate in sending your Son for us. Lord, I just pray that your words are spoken, not mine, but yours. Lord, thank you in your name. So, what are some of the one. We got covenant. We hear that a lot. We have a promise. Very similar. The promise, a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. Put in anything in there. It's a declaration. You speak it. You don't even have to say, I promise this, but you are speaking it. You're speaking it out. Covenant, it's an agreement. Agreement between two or between groups, but it is agreement. Again, most times it is spoken out. And a formal and serious agreement or promise. I like that it is serious. Because, again, words mean things to me, and they should mean things to us. That they're serious. That things happen. They're the spoken word. I go back to Tammy again, because she's a good example for me. One of the things that Larry Russell has come to me, he's the director of Love, Inc. He's come to me more times than not, and he says, your wife is amazing, which I like hearing that. And he says, when I tell her to do something or ask her to do something, she does it. When she says, I'm going to do this, for whatever that project is, it gets done. Very rarely will she go back to Larry and say, Larry, I can't do it. Because she'll find somebody to help her do whatever. Those are the kind of commitments I think the Lord is asking for us a lot of times. When he is asking us to do something, we just need to do it. No matter what it takes. No matter what it takes. In Psalms 145. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. Always means always. All means all. There is no going back and forth. He never changes his mind. He never goes back on his word. He never goes back on his promises. Never. Go through the Bible. I went through it. I looked and looked and looked and looked. I couldn't find a whole lot of places where he said, I'm going to do this. Everyone gets all excited and say, I changed my mind. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say that. I'm going to send you manna in the morning. I decided not to. Wait, time to fast today. No, he didn't do that. When he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Unlike us, he is without sin. Here's some interesting things I kind of found on promises. It's kind of fun. Out of this book by David Stewart, The Precious Promises of God, it says there are over 7,000 promises by God to man. 7,000. That doesn't include the promises that we as man have made to God. This is in the Bible. Not at all. But these are ones that he had made, God made to man. In fact, Satan even made 9 promises to God, or to Jesus. Of course, we know that, and I'm glad he didn't listen to those promises, because they probably wouldn't have worked well. There was a book written, I didn't get the title, in the 1800s, that stated there are over 30,000 promises in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. That one threw me for a loop, because I knew somebody at some point said, there are over 31,000 total verses in the Old and New Testament. So I'm thinking, how can there be 30,000 promises? That would mean almost every verse would be a promise. Suppose you can sit back and say, yeah, the Bible itself is a promise in itself, the whole Bible. But that seemed really odd. There's 31,102 verses in the Old and New Testament. The most common stated number out of everywhere I've read is there's 3,000, approximately, and give or take some. But 3,000 seems to be the number that everyone kind of stayed with. I wasn't going to go through the Bible and count them. I found a couple little books on promises that it was just all over. But there's always a promise for every situation that we're at. That is one thing I did learn. There's always a promise. And we could, I mean, you could look at some of that as well. The thing I finally came to realize before I grabbed my head around this is this. There's a lot. A lot. I mean, they really are countless. And that's the stuff that's in the Bible. That has no count of what he's actually told us individually. And you can't really count some of those. Thousands of promises or words have been spoken to us. We can go through the word and I can just say, hey, pick this one. You guys will be able to find them. They aren't very difficult to find, but I do have some examples, just in case. John 3:16, we know it, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. If you have done this, that's a promise. You will have eternal life. He said it. So nothing to be afraid of there. You won't die. You will have eternal life. 1 John 1:9. This has always been one of my favorites because it seems like I have to confess a lot. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. This one says wickedness or unrighteousness. Again, another promise. I'm not going to confess my sin to him and say, well, you know, I'm going to change my mind. No, I'm not going to forgive you on that sin. Mm-mm. He says he's going to, so he's going to. Couple more. A little bit longer. Genesis 9:8-12. Then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm any covenant, we already went through that, with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures. For all generations to come, I have placed a rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. All means all. It doesn't say that there isn't going to be floods. We're pretty evident of that in this last 30 days. I see rainbow in the clouds. I remember the eternal covenant between God and every creature on earth. This is a covenant, a promise, words. We didn't even have to do nothing. Nothing at all. Noah went on a boat with all these little critters. And he said, this is my promise to the world, to us. That never again will the whole earth be flooded. We didn't have to do a darn thing. That's kind of cool that we didn't have to do anything. Because a lot of promises come with do something. We saw through 1 John 1:9. If we do X, then he's going to do. He will promise he will do something. Another one. it's kind of cool with going through Genesis. There's a couple in Genesis, and with Tuesdays going through Genesis, it really is opening up the Bible more and more and more. Listening to all the teachers, this is a shameless plug for Tuesday nights, listening to all the teachers going through this and then us just having a conversation really opens our eyes. Having a conversation actually with this particular passage, Little Bunny Trail, and the three people that showed up and who those three people were. It was great. It was a wonderful conversation. But it says, as the three people came, the visitors, says, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Talking to Abraham at this time. It wasn't Abram. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was old at this time, and she was barren. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself. "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially with my master, my husband, who is also old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh. If the Lord comes to you and says something's going to happen and it seems so ostentatious, it's so big, don't laugh. Probably not a smart idea." This was the Lord's words. The Lord's words to Sarah and Abraham. And she laughed. Probably with good reason, because she was old. There are promises that were given to many of us, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, that you probably laughed. Or you said, "Oh man, right. How would that ever happen? I don't see it." And we kind of put those promises kind of in the back of our head and we even forgot about them. It isn't what the Lord wants us to do. It isn't. His word is his promise. We can go through the Bible. I can go on and on and on. I want us to realize over the years how many words have been spoken to us. Us as a body even. And most of it and a lot of it, most all of it has to come with scripture. We have to have it aligned. We run a promise through. If the Lord gives me a promise, I have to run it through a filter. I have to run it through the word, of course, to make sure my head isn't out here and that's a dream of mine, or I'm selfish and it's mine. It has to align with the word, as well as his character in my life. I mean, if he says, "Patrick, you're going to go up Mount St. Helens tomorrow," that's not his character in my life, because he knows I wouldn't be able to make it. But if he says some other things and it aligns with the last 35, 40 years of my life of his speaking to me, yeah, that's pretty good. That it was probably correct. So for the last few months, he asked me to, he's actually prompted me. That's why we're going through this here. Prompted me to look back at my journals. Jeff talked about his journal. He has one. He's been journaling for how long? 20 some odd years? 25 minutes. I got two. One of them is full. I didn't start journaling until I was about 2009. I am convinced journaling is good for some of us. The men's group has been journaling for how long, Mike? Gosh. Yeah, about 10 years. Whenever the men, at the end, we pray, and then Mike writes it in a journal, and we're able to go back and look and see what the Lord has done. It is amazing what we have seen the Lord just answer. It is so much fun to see. But anyway, the Lord said, "Patrick, go back and look into your journals." So that's what I decided to do. When he says do something, smart to do it. So I started this particular one here. Was the first time I started was I went to IHOP in 2009. And somebody said, "Take a journal and start writing." So that's the first time. I never journaled before 2009. I wish I had, because over this course, the last few months, he's really been drawing and bring up to the top some promises that he has said to me. This is where it's going to sound like, oh gosh, this is all about Patrick. But I want to give you an example of promises that he speaks to us, speaks to you. And hopefully what it will do is bring some memory, some remembrance to what the Lord might have been saying to you. He said he's been saying a lot. I was so surprised of how many promises I've forgotten. And I've just kind of said, no, that will never happen. Put it off to the side. Didn't think anything of it. Laughed. And the Lord said, just don't my, throughout the time, doesn't my words mean something to you? Oh, jeez. Talk about a knife to my heart. Yeah, they do. So he had me go back. He had me go through some of them. One of the things that is not in her journal, this one actually my wife laughed at. It was in the early 2000s. And I can't recall where I was at. But it was toward the end of the Iraq War, one of them. And I heard real distinctly from me, Patrick, you're going to Iraq. Holy smokes. That's one of those big things. I didn't laugh at that. I have no clue how that was going to happen. But I knew I had to tell Tammy. She didn't like that. Because she had also seen how the Lord works his promises in us as well. And she said, no way, you're not going. I said, but he said I'm going. She said, when? I have no clue when. He said, you're not going. She said, you're not going. She goes, I'll kill you here before I send you there so your body's here. Okay. But throughout that time, since that time, I haven't been pushing. I keep hearing it, not keep. Often hear it. Every couple of years, or something just kind of pops up. And I remember, I'm going to go to Iraq. I could push the subject. I could push the words myself. But I'm getting smarter of not doing that because it's in his timing. When he says something, he's going to do something in his timing. And it probably isn't going to look like the way we think it's going to look. Ian was here, Ian Rutherford. He came in January of last year as we were trying to work through him being a director. And he said something. It just kind of popped up. He says, yeah, there's a group from IHOP that goes to Iraq every year. Holy smokes, there's my in. And they go and they do mission work. It's dangerous stuff. And I could have pushed it. Actually, I actually asked Ian for some names, and he said, I can get you in contact with these people. If you want to go, I can send you. So I kind of started pushing the door a little bit, pushing that word. But it wouldn't budge. It wouldn't move. So it was pretty clear to me that the Lord said, nah, let's just kind of wait. So I have no clue how I'm going to get to Iraq. Again, how it looks, I have no idea. But I know I'll get there. Maybe when I'm dead and in him, he's going to send me there. I don't know. I got this. I'll go ahead and say it. It's interesting when we hear people in our body that has been, I think I'm using the word correctly, transported. Is that correct? We've been hearing that for years, spitter and spattering, where the Lord takes you in spirit and you go somewhere. And that's never really happened to me, but it was a promise given to me some years ago, well before 2009, that I would have that experience. Again, I kind of put that in the back until about a month and a half or so ago, a couple months ago, in a dream, I had to get with Lisa and say, Lisa, what is this? Because it freaked me out. Something I've never experienced before in this dream. She said, you were taken there. You were transported there. I said, oh, that's what it feels like. That's interesting. So why couldn't he, if he wants me to go to Iraq, send me that way? I don't know. All I know is I'm going to Iraq. And so when you see me packing up to go to Iraq, I would need prayer a lot, especially for Tammy. When the Lord speaks, he spoke again in 2009, October, said, Longview Kelso, do not be discouraged. I have not forgotten you. 2009 was pretty tough for a lot of places here in town. You are my children, and the promises I gave you are not forgotten. This is a time we went when we were in Kansas City, and we went to where Ari Long was and read some stuff. And there were some words written there. Didn't write them down. Smart, huh? There were some words written there that weren't for Longview, but they were basically for Ari Long. And those promises came here when he founded this city. So I thought, wow, that's interesting. That those have not been forgotten. That's really good. So it isn't just for you sometimes, it is for the region or for wherever you're at. Again, same time, it says, I will pour out more to you. This was specifically for me. Trust me, I will not let you go or let you down. My desire is to bless you, accepting blessings just as you have persevered through much. I will give you, my writing's bad, I will give you more than you desire. Your dreams and desires will come to pass. Years and years and years ago, how long was it when we were over at Father's house? When it wasn't Father's house, a long time ago. We were doing a night watch. Those things are so fun. There was some weird stuff that we did on those nights. I mean, you remember, don't you guys? Oh my gosh. I remember Tom hitting a stick on the floor and saw these little, oh, it was just wild stuff. Oh, sometimes you miss those things. But I got up on the stage and I was laying down. It was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, is my best recollection. And I heard the Lord tell me, exactly said, your 7 years are over. And similar to this here, your dreams and desires will come to pass. Those 7 years prior, I always called my Job years. They were 7 years of hell. And I never thought I'd get out of them. Tam and I both never thought we'd get out of them. I mean, there was health issues. There was just all kinds of crap. Sorry, all kinds of stuff. But that was one of those promises that he reminded me over those last couple months. Starting to dredge some of these things up. Then he has me go into here, and it says that. A year after that, it said, signs and wonders are coming. We are now praying, and we have seen them, but we're praying a lot right now for signs and wonders. This was back in 2010. Signs and wonders are coming. Keep being reminded of my promise for this. Many of us have heard this over the years. I bet you some of you even have it in your journals as well. You won't know what to do with it. Just get in and ride. That's all. Just get in and do it. This past Sunday, we got together to hear what the Lord said during our fast. I love hearing that from people. If you were here, it is exciting to see what you guys are hearing. And knowing that we're listening, we're actually taking this stuff kind of serious. Knowing that he's going to talk, knowing that he's going to say stuff. We've been doing that for I don't know how many years. And we could probably go back and look at the threads and the themes, and we can all get in this river and float around, and it's very similar. The Lord is so good to us. They're just so inspiring when I hear that. So prior to the fast, again, I've been in my journals looking back. He said a couple of things. One, because I asked him, why am I looking back? He said, in order for me to go forward, I had to look back. And I think a lot of us is that way. In order for us to look forward, let's look back and see what he has said and be anticipating those because his word said so. So let's go back and look. And I do really recommend that. But here's what I heard on December 27th. This is where I was not struggling, but not at all. And I thought it was for me, and the Lord said, nah, it's for everybody. It was my word. I didn't say anything last Sunday because I knew I was going to be saying something today, and I thought, well, why double it up and bore people more and more? So I just kept quiet because the Lord wanted me to do this. The first thing he said, my promises are just the beginning of my blessings. All the promises in the Old Testament, they always lead to a blessing. Some of the promises aren't very pretty at all. But every promise I was looking at the big ones, they always led to a blessing. So he wanted me to know, wanted us to know that his promises are just the beginning of his blessings. When the Lord comes in and drops a promise on your heart, it doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. In fact, for a lot of us, including me, when he comes and drops a promise on your heart, he says something in your heart, a lot of us end up going through a season of dryness, through a season of desert. There's a reason for that, and we can go, there's a whole new teaching on that, but there's a lot of perseverance, a lot of digging in, a lot of stuff that goes on with that. But when he drops it on your heart, there might be some dryness after that, but that's okay, because his word is true. His word will always be there. And then the other thing he said, 2016 will be a year of forgotten or unseen promises to be fulfilled and seen. I'm excited for that one. That one I said, oh, this is for me, because I got some really cool promises in here. And I would like some of those things to be fulfilled. But he said that to Evangel as well. This is for us. That there's been so many words that the Lord has given us as a body that hasn't come to pass. So why can't 2016 be that? We need to remember those promises so we can look at what he's going to do. Look at just what he wants to bless us with. Not going to say they're all going to happen, because they probably won't. Not saying they're all going to happen, but some will. And I believe as we're seeing our country, we can even look at that. The promises spoken over this land, I believe we're going to see some of those promises also fulfilled, both in our region but in the country. We're getting to a point where we're going to need to remember those words and say, yeah, this isn't too big for him. None of this is too big for him. He said it. He said it. In society, and I believe this is where a lot of us are, in society, we've had all these promises spoken to us. We've spoken them. They've become easy to break. They've become easy to say, oh, yeah, that wasn't my word. And I think there's a part of that ingrained in us when the Lord speaks words to us that, oh, that's going to be broken. My father broke it before. Your real father or your real mother. Yeah, so why wouldn't he do it? We sometimes forget that he is true to his word and he will answer those. We all have words that we've been waiting on. Every one of us. Some of you aren't journaling, and that's cool. But I think the Lord is going, I hope, the Lord is going to spur something in your minds to remember some of those promises and be ready to hear them. Be ready to hear them. It's so hard for us to remember some of the big ones. But faith comes into that. We have to have faith. 2013, our article in Charisma, as I was reading this, the title was, 3 steps to fulfilling God's promises. Really? There's 3 steps. Then our promises are fulfilled. Oh my gosh. I read that and I thought, how crazy. For us to say, if you do this, 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 and this, and this is all going to happen. If you become a Christian, all the world is going to be great and you're going to have no problems. Bull. We know that's not true. So we see this kind of stuff coming out. And we get disappointed. Oh, I did those 3 things and it didn't happen. I did these other 3 things and it didn't happen. But you said, well, you know what? I'm going to just walk away. Because God, you didn't do what these three steps told me you would. We have to watch what we have to watch what we say. It's the same thing when people come to me and give me a word. This is from the Lord. We have to run it through a filter. Because when human comes to human and say, the Lord told me this to tell you, we always put our own spin on some of it. We don't mean to. It's not malice or anything. It's just we expand on what he has said. When he just says this, let's just say this. It's the same thing when I, again, going back to the earlier, when the Lord gives me a word, we have to run it through that filter. Is it so weird? And it doesn't match anything, and it doesn't even match the word. I think we need to look at that. You really need to look at that. If he tells us a promise, a word, it's his plan, not ours. We can kind of push the door, like I've done, see if it moves. If it does, great. Keep walking through it. But if it doesn't, stop pushing. Because it's his plan, not mine. I don't want to push to go to Iraq. That would be foolish on my part. Not saying that I won't in 6 months kind of push it a little bit if it pops up. But for me to go and buy the tickets to go to Iraq tomorrow, foolishness. It's not his time. It's not his time. We have to realize that. Run it through the filters. Know that he doesn't change his mind. And really pray into some of these promises. Because they're good. He likes giving us gifts. He likes giving us stuff. He likes fulfilling his promise. So it's really cool. In Renee's words, the end. Just, yeah, this was fun for me going through the promises. Tam and I sat down and went through some of the promises for her and I that we've heard for our family. Stuff that just blew me away. And that was kind of exciting because it gave us more hope. It lifted our faith. You know, financially, it's like he told us years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that we would be in the position that we're in right now. And it's like, wow, Lord, that's really cool. But years ago, I had no clue how it was going to happen. None. But I did three steps. No. It's really awesome when the Lord will dredge things up on the good. Remember, some of the promises aren't very pretty. And remember, some of the promises that he's given you might be followed by a season of desert. Don't quit during those times. Don't quit. Because they'll happen. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Again, thank you for the city and region that we live in. Sometimes we don't like it. But Lord, you love it. You love exactly where we're at. Lord, I just pray that you just open doors, open hearts this week. And Lord, I just feel that, Lord, just divine appointments this week. Put people in front of us that need to hear something from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks.